the most diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden. Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, listeners, to Smart Health Talk. I'm Elaine McFadden. This November 15th is America Recycles Day, and we thought this would be the perfect time to dig deeper into how we're going to stop contaminating our food supply with toxic metals such as mercury. After everything we learned from our guest Allison Barrett from the Monterey Bay Aquarium a few weeks ago about the mercury contamination risks linked with eating certain types of fish and with pregnant women being especially at risk, I wanted to understand more on how this is happening and what we need to do to stop it now. If we don't take the time to figure it out, the problem is just going to keep getting worse. Perhaps the reason I take all of this so seriously is because I have witnessed firsthand what can happen when a pregnant woman eats too much mercury-containing fish while pregnant. Their baby can be permanently disabled and will probably fail to thrive. What that means is the baby will be there, but not there, mentally. They may not be able to connect to anyone and not grow and develop like a normal child. I will never forget the blank look on that child's face and the thought of how the mother may never get to see her daughter express love. Quite a challenge mentally and physically, no doubt, for something that could be avoided altogether, and that's what gets me fired up. But the good news is that there are answers, and we're going to talk about a few of them today. It starts with a resource that has been overlooked for the potential energy value. That is important because generating energy is one of the ways that mercury gets in the water and then in the fish. Burning coal and medical waste are up there as major contributors, but so is manufacturing processes such as those that happen when chlorine is made. We need to get clear on the causes for mercury in our fish so we can figure out the solutions. So at a time when cities are in need of extra funds to run even everyday operations, they may not realize that they are throwing out potential income with the garbage, literally. By sending trash to landfills instead of reclaiming it as a resource, they are literally throwing away money. Trash has energy value, and it takes a lot of energy to produce a final product. When you add everything that goes into it, from procurement of raw materials to the energy and water used in production, there is still value left that can be harnessed and reused. Our resources are finite, but the energy potential for some resources can go on long after their first use. For the system to work, though, requires everyone to take ownership of their trash and make sure that it's directed to a place where it can be reused and turned into one of thousands of different products that would have otherwise required harvesting new resources that come with a much higher energy cost than recycled materials. Their destiny would be to sit in a landfill taking up space and probably not even degrading. Bottom line is we need to start recycling everything we can. You know, we have the potential. We could be recycling 100% of our trash. Landfill space is expensive, and it creates environmental hazards. And who wants a landfill anywhere near their property? We are creating more trash than ever, and our population is growing, so the problem is only going to get bigger. But we now have the knowledge and technology to take control. But what it requires is all of us to do our part. And I keep saying that because we know that we're not recycling all of the things that we could be. And it's just because people aren't putting it in the recycle bin. Plastic is a big part of the problem, but it can also be part of the solution. Plastic improves our lives in so many ways we can't even imagine our life without it. PET plastic is never really trash because it never loses its energy value and can be recycled many times and be reborn over and over again, actually like on and on and on. So we have Dan Bahu from Global PET here today to help us understand how recycling can improve our lives, keep our environment clean, and save money and resources. Dan, welcome to Smart Health Talk.
Hey, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So can you start just by explaining why recycling is so important to every one of us?
Well, like you said, you know, I heard you throw around the trash word a lot. That's a dirty word where I come from because it's definitely a feedstock. It's a valuable resource that can be used literally infinity amount of time.
Really?
It doesn't downgrade when you melt it down and turn it back into something else. It actually preserves the energy. And once you make a container once, that energy is captured and can be used forever if we just get disciplined enough to recycle it and bring it back to the right people.
And we're just throwing this in our landfill, and it's almost like, you know, it was like throwing like a dollar bill in the trash or something from what you're saying, that there's actual
definitely.
Value there always.
Yeah, well, and not just it's sustainable reasons, you know, we become dependent on the material, you know, the bottle, and I think we're at a part in our history where we can't live without it, so we need to work with it. And for all the
That's
nasty,
a good point.
Yeah, for all the nasty talk you hear about bottles, people don't like to talk about the good, which is, you know, in times of natural disasters and there's over 1 billion people that lack clean drinking water supply, you know, the plastic bottle comes in like a savior, so it really it helps a lot of people. And we just have to work with it and make sure to get it back to the right people, and we'll recycle it all day long.
Well, and plus, I wonder how people would react, you know, if you said, okay, we're going to take away all the plastic bottles.
Yeah.
You know, people would be like, no.
A day without a bottle, that's a good movie.
So, you know, you work with PET all the time, and we're going to get into recycling, what it means to have recycling PET. But could you explain to us, like, what does it take to make the original version before you recycle anything, which is called what, virgin PET?
Yes. Traditionally, it's made from petroleum refining, actually a byproduct of petroleum refining. It's two parts. It's ethylene glycol and terephthalic acid.
Sorry. Tongue twister.
That's a tongue twister, yeah. And they're bound together to form a polymer chain. Now, new technology has, you know, found ways to where we can make the ethylene glycol, the glycol, and the terephthalic acid from sugar cane or corn or crop waste. But what people don't realize is that 85% of all oil is used for energy, and only 2% is used for the plastic bottle. So it seems to me that maybe we should spend more time worrying about energy and less about the bottle.
Well, and are like all of the recycle plants around the country, are they set up to even deal with it? Is like the plant plastic that is different than the petroleum plastic?
Chemically, no, they're identical.
Okay.
There's different types of bio-based bottles. There's the kind that is basically like I told you that replaces those two major components of the PET bottle, and it makes the same identical plastic, but it's made instead of oil from corn.
Which
this
to me seems crazy, you know, like
yeah.
Why would we use our food?
It is crazy. I mean, I think crop should go to people, crop waste, you know, now we can start utilizing that for plastics. That's not a terrible idea, but to use the crops itself, That is a crazy idea.
Well, and also they're growing GMO corn, which we've talked about several times on the show. And so that's actually supporting the continual expansion of GMO corn. And they and it's actually, you know, I'm sure it was like their idea, you know, oh, yeah, let's, you know, let's find another way to be able to use this GMO corn. And let's use it for plastic.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
The Coca-Cola plant bottle is actually great because it's recyclable. Now, there's other bottles
I was
that
wondering about that.
Yeah, that is great for recyclers. It's, again, it's just using... they're actually using the waste from all the different restaurants and things that they have their hands in. So it's things that would have otherwise gone to the landfills. So that's a good idea. Crop waste to go to plastic, that's a good idea. But there's also... another plastic that affects the recycling stream that's not made of PET.
Okay.
And that is PLA, which when it gets into the stream, it hurts us. There's nothing, you know, inherently evil about it. It's just there's no infrastructure to recycle it. And when it tries to ride the coattails of a plastic that has recycling infrastructure, PET, it starts to affect that stream and is doing more harm than good.
So, so how would you even know if you were, you know, going to get PLA, if you were buying PLA?
It's labeled on it. It's labeled with the number 7. But we need to keep our stream pure. And if it's PET, then you know it's recyclable. That's really what it comes down to. And it's labeled with the number 1. And it's hard sometimes to always turn a bottle over or turn a piece of plastic over and look for a number 1, but... Number 1 is definitely number 1.
Oh, okay. And, well, I want to talk about, like, the other numbers, too, as far as, like, are, you know, can we even recycle those? We're starting to run out of time right here. We're going to go and we're going to Dan's going to stay with us, and we're going to continue. We have a lot more things to talk about here in regards to recycling. And, I love learning about this stuff because I am like a faithful recycler and really believe in it. I mean, we just got to get with the program here. There's no reason for us to be filling these landfills with something that has value.
Agreed.
So, okay, everyone, well, please stick around and join us in just a few minutes. We'll be back.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Hello, I'm Elaine McFadden. You're here listening to Smart Health Talk, and we're with Dan Bahu from Global PET, and we're talking about recycling. So what I wanted to ask you next was about kind of really get into the whole recycling PET as a product, because something I'm trying to get straight in my head, too, is that, you know, we have these different bottles, but some bottles are... not necessarily made with recyclable materials, but they can be recycled. And what you guys do over there at Global PET is that you're taking, you know, pretty much all these bottles and recycling them and turning them into a product that can be used as a recyclable a material that comes from a recycling process. Did I get that right?
Yeah, correct. We take bottles, about 60 million pounds of bottles a year, and we grind them up and we wash them and we melt them down and turn them into containers for lettuce or eggs or whatever, and send them out. And it takes about 5 bottles to make, say, 1 container for a to-go container for a restaurant. So when the average person sees a piece of plastic, they actually think it's bad. But I look at it and I say, oh, that's like 5 bottles right there.
That's what you see.
That's what I see.
I know what you say. I know what you're saying there because I talk about what I see on a nutrition label, and you're looking at plastic as, you know, the potential, you know, what it took to actually make that one piece of plastic. Now, someone could take your container and actually recycle it again, right?
Oh, of course. Yes, all day long.
Oh, okay. So that it's just like a complete circle there.
But, yeah, the thing about plastic is that it, you know, all plastic is recyclable. Some go through the process a little easier than others. PET happens to be one of the best to be recycled because when it gets melted down, it retains its flexibility when it comes out the other side. and it doesn't lose any energy for what it's trying to do. So to reuse it forever is the goal, but we have to create a collection program for the containers for food and, you know, things like this, produce. The bottle is very recyclable because we have the collection for it. And so really the goal for the future is to work on recollecting and recycling all of those containers that you see in your grocery stores.
And then all of the new things that we make, we could be using like 100% recycled material.
Absolutely. That's what we do. And if you're in the store and you see something, see when it says 100% recycled material, that could be misleading, but what you need to look for is 100% post-consumer, which means the consumer opened the soda, they drank it, they threw it in the recycling bin, and it got turned into something else. Post-consumer is the key wordage you're looking for when you're buying.
And the reason for that is because that delivers the most resource savings and the most carbon footprint type savings, right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you're throwing a bottle in the recycling bin and think you're doing your part, you're halfway right. But when you buy something that says post-consumer, you actually are, because something that you recycled before is now something else. And if we don't support the outlet for these items, then they're not going to go anywhere.
So one of the things that we would try to accomplish with this radio show is, you know, to at least alert people that if you can find products like that, okay, sometimes it may even, like, cost a little bit more, because doesn't it cost the company more to go that extra mile and use that kind of product?
Not necessarily. It actually takes 84% less energy than virgin material to make something out of recycled content. The problem is making sure that that you can sort it properly and there's no contamination, which is where a lot of companies run into problems. So the goal is to definitely clean up our stream and utilize all of our plastic bottles. Right now, California does pretty good compared to the rest of the nation. We're doing 60% recollection and recycling of our bottles, and the national rate is 28%.
Wow, that leaves a lot of room for expansion on that.
Germany is at 98%, and Japan's at around 80%, so there's a lot of room for us to catch up.
And I kind of look at that as, like, you know, are they like figuring this stuff out faster than us? And does that kind of give them a little bit of an advantage over us?
A little bit. I think it has a lot to do with the pressure that the population put on the government to make sure that things are getting recycled. And it also has a lot to do with they don't have an Arizona close by to dump all their trash in, you know, where we could put it away and never look at it again. If they start a trash pile, it's going to be in their sights every single day. They're smaller countries, so they have to definitely think about their waste very carefully.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we need some other – I don't know what kind of other incentives, except that, you know, I just think people need to just say, hey, you know, this is my trash, and I need to follow through with it and take ownership of it and make sure it ends up in the recycling bin. I wish that we could convince people of that.
Yeah.
So what, you know, because we're saving all this energy with using recycled materials, I guess that's kind of a full circle environmental benefit as well, because then we don't have to process as much energy to do the same things. And wouldn't that mean that if we're not burning as much coal and things like that, that we're actually putting less mercury in the water?
Less pollutants into the air and less pollutants into the ocean.
So recycling is we're getting like a lot more benefits from it than we even realize. I mean, if we can look at recycling as a way to protect our food system where we're not getting as much mercury into the system, I think it should be another motivator for people as well. And like, what about like incineration? Like, isn't that like a good example on how we're just like kind of, you know, blowing away the potential value of a product?
Yes, completely. you know, to increase the recycling rates is to acknowledge the value of a lot of materials that people want, but it's hard to get because we're having trouble recollecting it. And when we have trouble recollecting it, we're incinerating otherwise valuable materials. So the more we can divert from incineration and landfills, the better.
Yeah, I think I even read an article where they dug up something that had been buried for like 20 years and it hadn't even decomposed like one single bit, grass clippings, newspapers, everything. So I don't know, maybe we'll get so good at recycling, we'll want to go dig up our landfills.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay. So I think most of us are aware that plastic and garbage is contaminating our environment in harmful ways. And we look at, you know, those large pictures of garbage in the ocean and on our shores. So is this a hopeless situation, or are you feeling, with everything you know, being in the industry, that, you know, there's actually some hope there?
Are you talking about with Plastic Island floating around in the
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's kind of disturbing.
Well, you know, I'm an optimist, and I think if we can put a man on the moon, we could probably fish that out somehow in the near future. I know there's people kind of looking towards plans of figuring out how to move that mass, but I know off the coast of Dubai they can create islands, so I'm pretty sure we could take one off.
Okay. Well, thank you. I feel better now. So you know, and what you were, I just wanted to reiterate something that I think is like really important, and that would be, you know, you were kind of telling us that really all plastic, we should be putting that in the recycle bin. Any of our plastic, like our laundry, soap bottles and all that?
Yeah, all plastic is recyclable. But again, I guess from a manufacturing standpoint, the difference is that all plastic melts at a different temperature. So we have to separate them, because if you try to melt one with the other, it'll clump up and cause problems.
Okay.
So what we do in the recycling world is we have what we call the float sink tank, and we have all the plastic will drop into the float sink tank, and the PET's density is heavier than water, so it'll sink to the bottom. And a lot of the other plastics, such as the caps and the labels, which are polypropylene, milk jugs, which are HDPE, even those little plastic bags, which are LDPE, those all float to the top, and those are all what we call PET-friendly plastics. They float to the top, and we can scrape those off and get those to the right people. The caps and the labels actually get turned into the pots for plants, those big black pots you see. Those are all caps.
Okay, well.
Of soda bottles.
Well, thanks, Dan. We ran out of time. Okay, well, everyone stay tuned, because we're going to be talking with a company that has become part of the solution by taking a bold step to support recycling. So thanks, Dan.
Naya, 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 recycle.
Naya, Canada's most environmentally conscious bottled water, is very proud to announce that its already recyclable bottles are now made from 100% recycled plastic. Naya is the first bottled spring water in the world to do that. So in addition to its recycling activities, Naya uses no new plastic to make its water bottles.
Naya, Naya, Naya.
A natural source of progress.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back. Well, I'm thrilled to have our next guest, Daniel Coates, CEO of Naya Water Incorporated, here today. And I had to add Naya as one of my manufacturing heroes because of the leadership position they took bringing the world's first 100% recycled post-consumer, according to Dan, PET water bottle to our market shelf for us to buy and recycle again. We just learned about the energy potential that comes in a 100% PET bottle, along with the energy savings, something that could go on forever. So it's easy to see the significance of a group working to make it even better by going one step further on their own. That in itself would be enough, but they fill this bottle with spring water that comes from this pristine, absolutely gorgeous place, protected source, and it's always difficult you know, when you're a company like this and you're going to go up against beverage giants that, of course, they're always, you know, they have huge volumes, price advantages, and you're a little water company with your 100% recycled bottle, you know, trying to be a leader in the world and the first one doing this. And I really salute you, Daniel, and all that you have to go up against to make all this stuff happen. And I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us here on Smart Health Talk.
Good afternoon, Ellen. Thank you very much for receiving me.
Well, and everyone, Daniel is up there in Montreal, Canada, and obviously he's very French and comes from Paris, France. And, I mean, I could go on and on with his pedigree and experience that he's had in the business, but, you know, I just really wanted to focus today on your work. Bringing this 100% recycled bottle, and I don't know if you were listening earlier, but you know we had someone from that actually recycles plastic on explaining to us just how great, you know, this post-consumer recycled plastic is, because it, you know, saves so much energy and resources. And I mean, you know, these other companies are using like plant-based plastic, so like what drove you to choose the petroleum product over, like, a plant-based product?
Well, I would say that PET is petroleum-based, but recycled PET is PET-based. And what I mean by that is that when we use 100% recycled PET, we do not use any new petroleum at all to make our new bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas plant-based bottles, they use 30% plant-based and still 70% petroleum-based. So basically, we just do our bottles with plastic which was already used before in other bottles, and they use 70% petroleum and 30% plant-based to make new bottles. So the energy balance is much better.
Oh, well, it sounds like, you know, so pretty much everything that they're using is new and not even recycled, versus what you're using is 100% recycled.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a huge difference. And what you have is the gold standard. I mean, that's what we would all wish that we could see in, like, all of our products, right?
Well, you know what? I agree. It was a dream at the beginning for us. It was a goal, but it was a dream. When we started in 2006 or 2007 to think of incorporated post-consumer recycled content in our bottle, we started with 25%, and we were the first in the world to do that, and then we raised to 50, and we said our dream is to go to 100. And people were considering us, I would say, best as dreamers, and worse, are crazy people.
Oh, okay.
And they thought that we would never be able to, you know, a small Quebec-based company that could do that, where the big beverage giants were not on that track. And it was tough from a technical standpoint, but we did a lot of R&D and everything, and we were the first one in the world to be able to put that on the market. Very proud of it, and that just proves that when you want, you can.
Well, that definitely puts you in my hero category here, because, I mean, I hope that our listeners understand the scope of that and how much you sacrifice to even be able to attain that. And I know, you know, here you set this high standard of 100% recycled plastic bottle, but then, you know, you guys don't just stop there. You actually try to become as efficient in every aspect of your manufacturing process. Is that correct?
That's very correct. Yeah. We are recycling 97% of all our defects, like all our garbage, basically is recycled at 97% at our plant by now. And here again, it's very simple. It's willingness and commitment. I will give you an example. Less than 10 years ago, all the bottles that were not perfect on our production lines, the label is misplaced, the cap is not correct, or whatever, and you cannot sell them. So what we're doing, they were already filled, we were putting them in the garbage, and we would send those big containers full of bottles, full of water, and just sending them to landfill. That was the way we were operating, and that's the way many beverage operations still operate today. That was like dozens of trucks per year which were going to landfills, and you have plastic and you have trucks on the road and everything. So the first step we did was to look for a place to crush the bottle and recycle the plastic instead of sending that to landfill. But we are still shipping those full bottles away to the place which could crush them. But that was already a very big improvement. And then what we've done now, we are at the end of the circle, I would say. We've purchased the machine to crush the bottle on site. So now we recycle 100% of those, and we don't even ship them away anymore. So at the end of it, it's several tons of plastic which we are now diverting from landfill and which are fully recycled, and it's no more unuseful trucks on the road.
That's awesome. I love that story. So you guys were also the first Canadian company to be certified by the Carbon Trust, and so you guys are, you know, leaders in, you know, more than one way. So what's significant about being certified by Carbon Trust?
Okay, to try to make it simple for your listeners, is Carbon Trust is basically the most recognized body in terms of certifying the what we call the full life cycle carbon footprint of a product. How much carbon or equivalent carbon does a product from cradle to the end, so hopefully cradle to cradle, of his life, does it actually generate? A beverage, you need to manufacture a bottle, you need to manufacture a cap, then you need to put the label and fill it in a plant, and you need to transport it, and then you need to refrigerate it in a store, and so on and so on. All of those things do consume carbon, or carbon equivalent, whatever the energy is. And that is the carbon footprint. And this is complicated somehow to be able to calculate the carbon footprint of a product because it's many, many different steps. So it's time and money that you have to invest. But when you are committed to try to decrease it, you need to invest that time and money to be able to know where you start from and to be able to set an objective where you want to go to. And that's what Carbon Trust Certification does.
Well, that's it shows how meticulous you are in every step, throughout your operation. Well, we have about 1 minute left, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the water that comes inside the bottle, because this isn't just like any water. This is a spring water that's like the rarest kind of water that you can find on the planet, and you guys have like an incredible aquifer that you keep protected as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. We are very fortunate to have our spring in the Laurentian, so in the Laurentian Canadian Mountains, and this water spurts from the ground, very pure, always at the same fresh temperature of exactly 48 degrees Fahrenheit. And basically our mandate is to bring it to our consumers, wherever they are in North America, as pure and fresh as if they were drinking it from the source, basically. And that's something we are doing, and you give me the opportunity by asking that question to try to come back on something which we hear a lot, which is many people say water is water. Where has it come from, the tap, or where has it come in a bottle, or is it spring water, or tap water is the same? And this is simply not true. I really believe that there is a fundamental difference between natural spring water, which by law is an underground water which has to be potable at the source, whereas tap water is a different type of water, and which in most cases has already been used by human for human consumption, and which has to be chemically treated to become potable again. And this is the biggest difference. One is potable at source. It has been purified and everything by nature. The other one has to be chemically treated to be potable. So those are two different
Well, I know which one I want to have, and there's absolutely no doubt about that. And I just finished reading an article that Aaron Brockovich, that chemical that they found in the waters, actually was in 32 out of 35 cities tested. And so, you know, the tap water isn't necessarily the safest thing. And I can tell you, you have, like, fantastic taste in water. You have a great product. I love it, and I hope that our listeners will support Naya and look for it on their shelf. And I think, you know, you guys are available, like, at Whole Foods and several other, you know, health food type stores.
Exactly. Today in California, we're available in what we call the natural channel, the stores like Whole Foods, Mother's Market, New Seasons, which sell organic and natural products. And we are working to try to go beyond that and to be available basically in the general market, so to speak, soon.
Okay. Well, everyone, keep an eye out for Naya. And thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us today and all your hard work making sure that we even have a product like that to choose from on our shelf.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back. So, well, it looks like our chef wasn't able to make it back, and I guess all those parents must have cornered him and asking him questions for the taste testing. But we're going to have to hit him up to come back and tell us all about it perhaps a week after next. We're also going to be having some really great things coming up on our show that I know you're going to want to tune in for. On December 1st, we're going to be having Eric Hoffman, and he's actually up in Canada as well right now. And he's been going around to all these different events and educating people on GE salmon. And probably a lot of us don't realize that the FDA is really close to making a decision on whether GE salmon is going to be approved. And, of course, some of the things that we've already learned on our show here is that genetically modified foods presently are not even required to be labeled. So you could be eating genetically modified salmon and you wouldn't be able to know whether you were or not. And of course, you could always get wild Alaskan salmon, which we've learned is something that you can always count on being a good choice and not being farmed or exposed to high mercury levels. So, you know, that's one of our number one choices. And I have to tell you, I've been really grateful for the guests that we've had on this show, because I've been learning a lot of things that I've been incorporating into my own life with being able to choose, you know, wet fish on the menu. I've used that like several times. And even our probiotic segment from last week, I've been able to use that for my own personal benefit, because I'm having to deal with some challenges myself because of antibiotics. So I hope any of you out there that missed last week will go and listen to that segment, because the Good Belly people that we have a product that actually works. And probiotics are one of the top of my recommendations as something that you always want to make sure that you have in your diet. And, you know, one of the top things we learned from that show also, in case you missed it, was that if you do take antibiotics, you should be taking a bacterial supplement at the same time. But, you know, during that period, but not at the exact same time that you take the antibiotic, because what we learned is, you know, if you do both of them at the same time, it's going to kill the good guys, the good bacteria that you're trying to introduce back into your system. So always make sure that you take that within a few hours. And the whole kind of getting back to the GE salmon, that's something I'm pretty passionate about, because right now we have a chance to stop this. And the FDA has not made a decision yet. And if that's, you know, we're at Smart Health Talk, we hope to just bring you the information so you can make your own decisions. But, you know, I'm hoping that of everything that we've talked about here that you feel that GE salmon is something that at least we need to look at a lot closer. We're putting these things in our system without even any long-term testing to find out, you know, what the potential could be to the environment. I mean, what if these GE salmon are actually genetically modified to be sterile? So, suppose it's sterile, but we know that nothing is ever 100%. And we're messing around with, you know, genetic material. And this is, they actually shoot a gun of material at what they're trying to put it into. I mean, even when they make this stuff, trust me, it's not an exact science. I am going to be having a lot of other things on our website as well. And about, you know, the GE salmon, some links. So please keep checking back. We just added a great blog. If you enjoyed our show today and are interested more in recycling and how it's impacting our food, please go on our site, and there's a really great blog that we put together for you that's going to have a lot of that information. And we also added a huge recycling section to our website as well with some just, you know, simple tips that I think, you know, maybe some of them you already knew. Some of them, you know, may be something that you hadn't thought of before. So go and check those out. And there may actually be something there that you can go, hey, I can do this. I can do my part to recycle here. And just, you know, if you have to carry a bottle home with you to get it in the recycle bin, just make that extra step. We all can pitch in. And so go to www.smarthealthtalk and see what kind of things we have there for you. And please keep stay listening to Smart Health Talk. We really appreciate you. And we're here for you, and we want to take care of you and make sure that you stay healthy and take good care of your family. So that's what we do. All right. Have a healthy week, and we'll see you again here next Thursday.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song as well as other great music.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other. Nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com.